Good morning.
Well,
maybe I need to slide it up just a little bit here. How about that? Is that better? Good. It's good to be here with you this morning. First off, I do want to take just a minute to say thank you to everyone who came out and helped yesterday with our VBS and backpack giveaway. I know that Justin and Mercedes and many of you, Miss Linda, put in a ton of work, and we're really appreciative of those who came and helped. I was very impressed with the responses that we were getting from individuals in the community, and I do believe, and I'm a firm believer, that there were a lot of seeds planted yesterday in our Vacation Bible School. This morning, as we study, if you are here and you're a guest, I want to take a moment to say thank you for being with us. You are our guest, and we'd like to meet with you after services just to get to know you a little bit better. We have classes, and we are excited that you're here. As we study this morning, I want to bring in one of my favorite movies that I remember. It came out in 2009. Pixar released this movie called Up. How many of you have ever seen the movie Up? In the movie Up, I remember it very clearly. I even went back and watched it again. It was an excuse to go back and watch it again. But in Up, there was two young children named Carl and Ellie Fredrickson. Or they weren't Fredrickson at the time, but when they were children, they got to know each other because they both had this adventurous attitude. They wanted to go to this place called Paradise Falls to find this mysterious bird. And they spent a lot of time as kids dressing up. They had a helmet and goggles that they would wear and act as if they were adventurers traveling to this land where Paradise Falls was. And eventually one day, Ellie and Carl run into each other in this old abandoned house. And as they got to know each other over time, they grew very fond of each other because they both shared this common interest in going to this place called Paradise Falls. As time goes by, which it doesn't say any words or anything in this movie, but we see that Ellie and Carl end up growing up together, getting married, and spending their life together. And as they get old, where the story picks up is that they decide that it's time for them to take this trip to Paradise Falls. So Carl goes out and he buys tickets to travel for he and Ellie to this place called Paradise Falls. And when they get there, he has this plan to build their dream house on top of this fall overlooking the waterfall. So he buys the tickets and he goes home and he grabs Ellie, his wife, and he's going to take her on a picnic. He packs a basket at one of their favorite places on top of the hill, and he's going to surprise her with this dream trip to Paradise Falls. Now, at this point in their lives, they are in their older years, and as they're climbing up this hill for this picnic to where he can surprise his wife about this trip, Ellie grows weary and faints. And as the movie goes, they take her to the hospital, and as you see, as the movie goes along, that eventually Ellie passes away in the hospital. And Carl recluses himself to just pure depression. And Carl spends his life for the next few months after Ellie passes away focusing on all of the negatives that are around him. What happens next when Ellie passes away is that Carl goes back home to his house. He gets into a routine to where he gets out every day. He walks out the front door. He walks to the mailbox, and he walks back to his mailbox, sits on the porch for about a minute, and then goes back home and looks at pictures in his house. One day, there comes in a contracting company who buys the whole entire block around Carl and Ellie's house where they grew up together. And they try to buy his house from him, and they tell him, you know, eventually we're going to get your house anyway. It's a matter of time. And he focuses on all the negatives. So he looks when these contractors come to him with his price, and they say, he said, it's not worth it. It's a horrible deal. You're just trying to kick an old man out. Well, then they come to him, and they say, hey, look, we'll pay for you to go to this assisted living facility. He gets really mad, and he's not having it. So one day while they're out there doing construction, they take a piece of the machinery, and they hit his mailbox and knock it off. And so he gets mad. He gets on his little walker with the four tennis balls on it. He walks right out to the mailbox where the guy's trying to fix it, and he's just saying, leave my mailbox alone. I don't want your help. And the guy's trying to put his mailbox on, and he strikes him on the head with his walker. And they take him to court, and he loses his house. And so as the story goes on, this company, this assisted living company comes up to pick up Carl, and when they get to the house, he has this bag packed, And he tells him, he says, okay, I'm ready. And he hands him this bag. He said, will you go take this out to them? He said, I got one more thing I want to do. And he has blown up all of these different balloons to elevate his house to move it to Paradise Falls. And when they walk out to the van, he and his house take off, flying through the air. And I know that that's kind of a crazy illustration that would never happen today. But one of the things that happens while he's going through all these negatives is that there is this young man named Russell. And if you've ever seen the movie Up, I love Russell the character because Russell is that young, passionate, energetic, positive person no matter what's happening. So he comes up to Mr. Fredrickson's door one day and he says, hi, I'm with the Boy Scouts. And he reads off of the book what he needs to do so he can receive his service badge. And as he's standing there, Mr. Fredrickson says, don't want any, and slams the door right in his face. But Russell stands there and he politely knocks on the door again and he starts to read it again and again and again. And finally, Fredrickson gives in. He says, okay, I'll let you do it. So he tells him, he says, all right, he said, if you're going to help me, he said, I need you to do this one thing. I need you to go find this hideous creature that's been plaguing my family, and it's called a snipe. And he sends him snipe hunting. And if you don't know what snipe hunting is, I'm not going to tell you because somebody else might be really mad because they were planning on taking you. But snipe hunting, he sends him snipe hunting. So Russell comes back, and he knocks on the door, and nothing happens. And he waits and he waits and he leaves and he comes back. Well, the day that he comes back to knock on the door is the day that Mr. Fredrickson had decided to elevate his house. So they're flying through the air and Russell's standing on the porch like this because he's scared to walk off. And he knocks on the door and he looks and he says, Mr. Fredrickson, can I come in? And he says, no, and slams the door right in his face. But yet Russell continues to keep this positive mentality that I am going to help this man regardless of what happens. And as we study this morning, I want us to just briefly think about this idea. In the world that we live in today, you can turn on your TV, you can turn on your radio, you can pull up your computer, you can do whatever you want. You can walk through the grocery store, the gas station, wherever you want. You can find negativity immediately. Everywhere you go. It is the easiest thing for you to be able to achieve or to get. And as we think about that, and we think about how negative our world is, I want us to, as we study today, I want us to look at the life of Job and see how he looked and how he kept his mentality despite all the negative things that were going on around him. You see, the truth is that you and I have never experienced anything what Job has, ever. And when you look at Job's life, Job had all these horrific things happen to him, and he was tested by Satan over and over and over, and there is a reoccurring theme is that Job looked up to God positively. Even when his friends came and tried to argue with him, or as it says in the text, they came to encourage him, and he eventually says, you are useless encouragers. Job understood that in order to get through negative times, we have to look up. So when we look at Job, in the life of Job, Job was a very, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Job chapter 1. That's where we'll spend the majority of our time this morning. Job chapter 1, if you look at verses 1 through 3, and you look at all of the things that Job had, read with me in verses 1 through 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There was born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And when you look at Job chapter 1, you can go to the next slide. When you look at Job chapter 1, when you look at Job chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, you see here that Job is a very materialistically blessed individual, and he's also blessed from a family perspective that he has a lot of children. But I want you to think about this, and I never thought about this until Dad and I were talking about it. I went home for a funeral Thursday, and I said, you know, it's weird to me that Job could handle 7,000 sheep. I grew up raising sheep. We have 87 right now at home, and Dad tells me every day, I'm ready to get rid of these things. So he tells me all the time. So Job was a very blessed man. He had a lot of things. And during this period of Job's life, do you know how easy it was for him to focus on the positive? It didn't take much effort at all. He had family. He had all of these different livestock. He had servants. He could eat whatever he wanted to eat. He could do whatever he wanted to do. And for him to stay positive, it didn't take anything. He had what he wanted. But you and I know as Job's life goes on that things got worse. And when we look at the world today, it's the same application that we can stay positive easy when things are going good. It's easy to stay positive. I'll tell you one thing that I thoroughly enjoyed yesterday is that everyone who came through this building was always smiling. They were looking at all the decorations. Oh, there's anger, and they were smiling. This person at the registration was nice to me, and they were smiling about it. Because it's easy to stay positive when things are going well, but as things get harder, it gets more difficult to stay positive. But the truth is, when we dwell on negative things, it pulls our focus away from God's goodness. And I'll give you just a brief example here. When I was a senior in high school, I had things that I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed playing football and enjoyed playing tennis, and I enjoyed going out and riding horses with one of my good friends, Casey Hogue. My senior year, Casey was killed in a car wreck, and I'm going to tell you, in order to keep positive, when I see negative, it pulls your focus off of God sometimes and His goodness. But what I failed to see in that moment, because I was dwelling on the negatives, is that Casey spent his life serving God. I can see him again. But I didn't focus on that because I was focused on the negatives. But I want you to look at this. Read with me in Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. And we're going to stop momentarily as we go through here. But begin reading with me in verse 13. It says this. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. So as we think about Job staying positive, so imagine with me here for just a moment that you are a man of a great empire of livestock. And you have acquired a great deal of livestock. And imagine that if somebody came up to you and said, hey, a quarter of all of your empire was just taken. A lot of people would look at that, and to just give you an example in the business world, if somebody is the CEO of a company and someone tells them, hey, a quarter of our company has just disappeared, I can promise you they're going to think about the negatives and focus on the bad that has happened. But continue reading. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Second servant comes, and he says, not only are your donkeys and oxen gone, he said, but also your sheep. And Job's empire is slowly disappearing. And there is this moment that you have to consider that Job could have looked at and said, all right, guys, it's time for me to pay for an army of security to take care of my stuff. But he didn't. Job continues on about his life. You continue reading with me. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down your servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. If there's ever a moment for Job to focus on something negative, all of his earthly possessions that most people in this time considered to make you wealthy have disappeared. Now Job is standing in his life with this left, his wife, his children, and a couple of servants. And at this moment, it would be so easy for Job to just say, you know what, that's it, I'm tired of it. It's time for me to take action, to get mad, to get angry, to get upset, to focus on the negative and do something really rash or crazy. But he doesn't. Continue reading with me. Verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And if there is ever a moment of sadness or disgust in the life of a man. Imagine if everything you owned has been taken. You see, it was previously pretty bad because he lost all of his livestock and servants. But now he has lost his future legacy and his name being carried out in the world. And if there's ever a moment that Job could have looked and said, all right, this is too bad for me to handle, I would imagine that this would be a moment that would challenge that thought to be negative. But yet Job still has his wife, and he still has some friends. And as you continue reading with me, and you look at this, in a short period of time, and we'll get to it just here in a moment, in a short period of time, Job has went from a great man in all the East to a man with a wife and no possessions. How do you stay positive when life knocks you off the feet, off your feet? And as we look into this just a little bit more here in a moment, I want you to think about this idea. Job never stopped looking up. That's how Job kept his mentality to where he was able to make it through this tough situation, is that he might have had a problem with the way things were happening, but he was still looking up to God for answers. He might have been sad that he lost his children and all of his empire, but he still looked up to God for the answers. And as Job's life goes on, we see in the end, at the very end of the book of Job, we see that Job reconciles to God, but he never took his focus off of God. And he knew that God's goodness was greater than the world's trials. And that's the key for us. You see, there is a lot of suffering in the world. There is a lot of things that cause us to pull our attention off of God. But let us challenge ourselves to think about this. If we keep our focus on God like Job did, the world's trials are temporary and passing. And when those times are up, we will look back appreciative that we kept our focus to God, because we'll be in heaven one day. And in chapter 2, in verse 9, this is what it says. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. So now Job has lost all of his materialistic possessions, all of his kids, and his wife has turned on him. Everything in Job's life has been turned upside down, but his focus was kept on God. As you continue reading through the book of Job, you will see the dialogue between Job and those who come to comfort him or to help him. And as time goes on, he tries to explain why he thinks this is happening, why God is allowing this suffering. And at the end of the book of Job, as I mentioned a moment ago, God and Job reconciled because God knew that Job was looking to him for answers. And we need to do the same thing. So as we think about this morning, I have three easy points that I want you to think about. In Job chapter 1 and verse 20 and 22, which is on the screen behind me here, this is what it said. After all of this, that Job had lost his children, his empire, and everything that he had, this is what he did. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground, and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Job focused on the goodness of God. And how I want this to apply to us today, I want to point out three simple, easy points that help us to quit worrying about the negative. To quit worrying about the negative. Number one, build yourself up. Build yourself up. And I know that you're thinking, well, that sounds kind of arrogant, but that's not what I'm intending. Here's what I want you to think about with this. When I say build yourself up, prepare yourself for these hard trials that come in life. Prepare yourself for these hard trials that come in life. And here's something I want you to think about just for a moment. We know that bad things happen to everybody at some point. We know that. It is 100% fact that something bad will happen to you during your life. Why not prepare for it now? If we build ourselves up and we put our focus on God and we keep our attention on God, even when times are tough, and we prepare for those moments, it is temporary and passing, and God's goodness will take care of us. But the easiest way to build yourself up The easiest way to keep your focus on God when things do get tough, look at with me in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. It's going to be on the screen behind us, and it says this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And here's what I want you to take away from that passage. In this idea of building yourself up, no matter what situation that you're in, if you're happy, if you're sad, if you're hurting, whatever the case may be, James tells us here there's one common thing. Talk to God about it. Pray to God about it. You want to build yourself up and prevent these negative comments or these negative thoughts from dwelling in your mind and causing you to take action to be negative. He says, talk to God. Because God is good. God's goodness is better than all our trials. And if we keep our focus on God, it will help us to stay positive in the worst of times. But the second thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and this is a scripture that was read for us, is that if we study to show ourselves approved, you are building yourself up for an eternal inheritance. You are studying God's Word, and when you study through God's Word, it helps us to see verses like Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, really, that shows us that if we put our trust in God, one of my favorite verses, trust in the Lord in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. If you build yourself up in God's word, when times of trial come, you can have comfort. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. And it says this, I write these things to you who believe that you may know that you have eternal life. And if that doesn't comfort you as a Christian and make you be positive, I don't know what can. Because that is Christ, God Almighty Son, telling you, if you believe in me, you have eternal life, period. And if we build ourselves up and we focus on things like that and we study when times are tough, we can be positive in a negative setting. We can be positive when things aren't going the way that we want. The second point I want you to think about this morning, build up your church family. Build up your church family. Something that a professor said to me several years back, he said, when you are working with the church, there's going to be problems because people are in it. He's right. Because we as humans all have problems, we all have flaws, and we all have things that maybe other people look at as a negative, but I want you to think about this. What good is being done when we point out something negative that somebody else does? Nothing. It's easy to point out negatives, but imagine this. Imagine, and I'm not just saying here at Florence Boulevard, but imagine how strong the Lord's body would be if Christians started looking at the strengths instead of the weaknesses. One of my favorite preachers that is in the area back home where I preach, his name is Andy Brewer. Andy is he's a dear friend of mine. He and I did several things together growing up. And one thing that Andy always told me, he said, you know what? He said, when I preach, he said, I have this in mind. When I look in the audience, I don't look and say, well, you won't believe what that person said to me. He said, and when I do meetings and when I have counseling sessions, he said, I never focus on the positive. He said, because if I stand up and I am that negative image, you know what kind of atmosphere I set for my congregation that I work for? It's a negative one. So when we think about it, as we think about this idea of building up your church family, I just want to share this with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And if you ever read through the book of Ecclesiastes, it is a book of worldly wisdom for you and I today. And here's what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and it's on the screen here behind me. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisdom that is shared for us is this in chapter 4. Work together. Work together. Andy Brewer said to me one time, he said, I don't understand. And I asked him, I said, what do you mean? We were at church camp, at Real Foot Youth Camp. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, it just doesn't make any sense to me. He said, I've been preaching now for about 20 years. And he said, one reoccurring thing that never made sense to me is, he says, is that in any church, he said, there are those individual members who don't care for each other, who are always negative about each other. And he said, and I just want to walk up and ask them, how can you treat each other like this and plan on being in heaven for eternity together? But what Andy tries to instill in his members is this: build one another up. Stop worrying about the weaknesses. Stop worrying about the negatives. Put God and His goodness in your church building. Just like the book of Ecclesiastes says, work together to make a difference. And when times of negativity come, he said, blessed is the one when he falls that he has someone there to pick him up. And that's what we need to do as the Lord's church, work together. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, one of my other favorite passages in the Bible, it's very descriptive in this mental image that I've always had, is that this: when you consider, and I'll read it for you, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here is one of my favorite parts about this whole entire passage in Hebrews chapter 10, is that phrase, as you see the day drawing near. That is a friendly reminder that this passage is not just referring to Sunday morning and Wednesday night, but that day that is drawing near is every day that you and I are on this earth. And we need to build one another up. Consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. If we are going to get through the negatives, if we are going to be positive and keep our focus on God, one of the most important things is work together with your brothers and sisters and challenge them and encourage them to do the same to you. In the good times and in the bad times, we need to build one another up. The third point is this: build up those that you evangelize to. Yesterday, it was really funny. Ashley and I went to have lunch with Nate and Carla and with Mark Van Horn, and we sat in Arby's for three and a half hours. We're really weird, I know. It's Nate's fault. We'll blame it on him. But we sat in Arby's for 3 hours yesterday, and one of the things that we were talking about is that sometimes when we evangelize to people, what happens is that we study with them, we teach them the gospel, we baptize them, and we say, welcome to the family. We'll see you on Sunday. We don't encourage them. We don't challenge them. We don't find a place to plug them in. But as Christians, we have a responsibility that when we are evangelizing to people, we are encouraging them, building them up, preparing them, making them, and I love the way that Mark said this yesterday. He said, we are making them disciples. If we're going to keep our focus on God, that has got to be our top priority. Not just getting someone baptized, but making disciples. According to Romans chapter 3:23, we all have sins, we all have flaws, we all have mistakes, but that's not just inclusive of inside this building, that's inclusive of everywhere that you go. And here is the beauty of ministry, is that we have a responsibility to encourage everybody, everywhere that we go, to see the love of God, to see the grace of God, to see the extent that God is willing to go to get us to heaven. That's ministry. And that's not just for me, that's for you, and that's for every Christian in the world. But here is something I want you to think about. Will you ever convince someone to follow Christ with you and maybe your brothers and sisters here at this church, or at your brothers and sisters at another church down the road, or with your brothers and sisters in another country? Do you think you can convince someone to become a part of that family if you're talking bad about that family when they're not there? You see, part of building up those that we evangelize to is that we are striving to become closer together as a family or as the bride of Christ with everyone in the body of Christ. And in order to do that adequately, in order to minister to others, we have got to focus on the positives. And if we focus on the positive, one day we can spend eternity with God Almighty. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36, and I didn't stick this in here because of Mr. Melvin's lesson Wednesday night, but here's something I want you to think about, and he did say this over and over, and I think it's a passage that all of us can listen to every single day of our lives, How easy is it for us to get along with those who get along with us and try to get along with us? It's easy. But when you are evangelizing, you will come across people that it will take time and patience to get them to see God's glory. And if we're going to do it adequately, if we're going to build up those who we evangelize to, sometimes we have got to stop worrying about the negatives that they're doing. Stop worrying about all the things that they're saying. Stop getting frustrated, but start showing them the love of Christ, teaching them with God's holy word, and being the example that they need to see. You'll soften the hearts of those you evangelize to with good deeds, positive compliments, and acts of kindness. And it's the same for those in the Lord's church when we have negative times. As we close this morning, I want to just go back and we'll have one more slide here. But I want you to think about these three things. These three simple things help us to look up, to stay positive when times are good, when times are bad, when times are just horrific, when times are depressing. If we work on these three areas, that covers every area of our Christian walk with God. So this morning, I want you to challenge yourself with this. No matter what happens from this moment on, you will choose to look up to God. At the end of Carl Fredrickson's, at the end of the movie, Carl Fredrickson's heart is turned because Russell's positive attitude and his kindness to him. Imagine what the world would be if Christians stopped getting mad or angry or upset or being negative about people who are not claiming to be Christians, not doing what they're supposed to. Imagine what the world would be like if we as Christians became truly the salt and light of the earth, to be positive despite all the negatives. Challenge yourself this morning that no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, no matter how ugly someone is to you, you will be the light and the salt and the difference that this world needs. This morning, maybe you're here and you say, you know, it's easy to be negative. It's easy to think about the things and mistakes that I've done. It's easy to think about all of the horrible things that I've committed over the years. And, you know, I just don't know if God will take me into heaven with the way I am. Here is the beauty of God and His Son, is that when we make mistakes, God has a plan to get you and I back to heaven with those mistakes. It's called grace. And we hear about it in the Word of God, and we have to believe it, and we have to confess our sins, and we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to be obedient and be willing to be baptized to wash our sins away, to rise up out of that watery grave, to live a new life faithfully until we receive that eternal crown. And if you are willing to do that, it doesn't matter how bad you are, God wants you. Maybe you're here, you say, you know what, I've had a lot of bad things happening, and it's hard for me to stay positive. I just need some encouragement, some strength for my life, and to get through this stuff. I'll tell you this, you are in the best place to be encouraged. Maybe you're here, and you say, you know what, I've just got something really heavy on my heart, maybe a loved one struggling with something or something that I don't know what else to do. Won't you bring those problems to us and let us help you? If there's anything that we can do to help you this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?